Following Discord's lead, in June, Sony PlayStation will enact draconian identity verification measures that will start in the United Kingdom and Ireland. And Sony has chosen for the data processing handler of identity and facial scans a company that has some concerning things in its privacy policy. The fact that it has a privacy policy, kind of an oxymoron, but we'll get into that. PlayStation UK recently sent out messages that read, quote, "As part of our compliance with global regulations, you'll need to verify your age later this year to continue using PlayStation communications features, such as messages and voice chat." End quote. And this is coming from the company that's associated with one of the most colossal fuck-ups in hacking history, where 77 million PlayStation users' sensitive information was compromised, including usernames, unencrypted passwords with only transformative hashing functions, home addresses, warnings of credit card risk, and email addresses. Sony waited a week to issue its warning. That's not trust-inspiring for Sony, and they're dressing up identity verification as age verification to ease the acceptance. Sony is passing the buck for identity handling to Yoti, a digital identity company that was fined by the Spanish Data Protection Agency for what the agency says was unlawfully processing biometric data and failing to comply with data storage limitation requirements. Good start. Then that's the company that's going to process your identity to play video games. If those who live in the UK and Ireland don't comply with Sony's measures, those users will specifically lose out on voice chat, text chat messaging, the ability to join parties, the ability to broadcast, third-party comms, and sharing features. More notably, it restricts in-game user-generated content, which is a significant selling factor for many games. But there's good news. Sony says even if you haven't uploaded your ID, it'll still let you buy things on the PlayStation Store. How generous of them. The story is really similar to Discord's in that Sony says it's just trying to comply with the United Kingdom's Online Safety Act, but there's other ways to comply with it that don't involve some of the steps that they're doing. And likewise, this story is one that we've been covering a lot lately because it's growing. Identity verification has become a key interest for both tech and governments, where if you look at companies like OpenAI, which has a growing interest in identity verification, companies like Palantir, which are publishing manifestos on how Silicon Valley companies have a responsibility to safety of people or something, and interest in identity verification from investors like Peter Thiel, it's really worth questioning the real motives behind a lot of this stuff, especially as it expands into simple entertainment like video games. Right now, Sony says that it's just coming to the UK and Ireland, but that's also similar to how Discord's rollout began, before the company announced plans to expand worldwide. Sony also said the quiet part out loud, stating that it made this change to comply with, quote, "global regulations," end quote, as opposed to specifying UK or Ireland regulations. While Sony calls this age verification, as friend of the channel Lewis Rossman points out, this is a misnomer and it eases acceptance.
You are essentially creating the infrastructure that would allow the government to choose who can and cannot have a personal computer. And that's really bad. That's horrible. That needs a better name. Age verification ain't it. Because age verification is something that puts me to sleep. Age verification is boring.
It also just sounds more agreeable, and it's how regulators slip things by normal people. We think a more appropriate name would be identity verification, because that's what it is. What this stuff does is it keeps tabs of who you are, what you watch, what you play on your systems, and what you say on the internet. And maybe it's time to bring back the Norman Reedus facial verification trick. We brought you this video with our brand new wireframe V2 mouse mat on store.gamersnexus.net, also accompanied by our new MicroSlop t-shirt that's on its way to our warehouse right now. These feature a parody MicroSlop logo with a blue screen of death frowny face, warning marks from Event Viewer, and our rendition of Tux the Penguin hidden away, and of course, MicroSlop. So everyone you pass either thinks you work there for now, or they know your thoughts on AI. The wireframe V2 mouse mat on the GN store was made by Andrew on the team in Blender, fully 3D modeled, and then represented in a high-quality mouse mat that you see here. The mat can easily accommodate a keyboard and mouse, has fine detail with the city built of wireframe components for the heatsink, RAM, because let's be honest, it's the only place any of us can get any now, and cooling tubes, and we use a matching blue stitching for anti-fray with a blue rubber underside for some unique GN flair. We modeled these to ridiculous levels of depth in that there are things in the model that you can't even see in the product because we went that deep with it. Like, for example, the springs underneath the switch, underneath the keycap that's represented in the matte surface. Head to store.gamersaccess.net to support our deep dive independent research content like this directly. Sony provides three options for users to verify their identity. You can upload a form of ID, that's a driver's license, a passport as another example, which is fucking crazy to upload, I can tell you, or submitting a verification code via a phone number, which has its whole own set of security vulnerabilities, like, for example, via SMS SIM swapping or something. So you're either giving up your face to a scanning app that may use that data to train its fraud prevention services as they brand them. You're giving up your ID, or you're giving up a phone number and SMS. And the face scans alone are used in other applications as well, like checking against chips in modern passports, for example, to see if the chip contains the same image as the photo on the passport page, and they can scan your face for that. I've been through this process when entering various countries for travel, for work. But there's a critical thing to remember with this. Unlike entering a foreign country, this is to play video games on your now $900 PS5 Pro, or over $1,000 if you buy a disk drive for it. That's what you're uploading your identity in some capacity to use that thing that you're now paying 28% more for than you were a year ago. And it's also very old, by the way. And that's to even get the privilege of using the whole device in some regions. So you don't have to upload this if you live in the regions that are affected. And they'll still let you buy stuff, but you lose access to a lot of other features that you paid $900+ for now. Now, Discord also asked for copies of your ID and facial scans. So have adult websites. They were kind of the first in the dominoes. But when it's adult websites, it's easier for these types of changes to slowly roll out and happen for a lot of reasons. One of them, the primary one, I think, is that a lot of people are just kind of embarrassed to talk about it. It's sort of taboo. It's admitting something when you say you don't like that you have to upload an ID to use said sites. And so there's a lot less public resistance to it for that reason. That allows them to kind of establish a foothold and grow up from there into more innocuous things. For Sony's facial recognition option, Sony is partnering with UK-based identity verification company Yoti. Sony says that Yoti, quote, deletes your facial geometry data as soon as your verification is complete, end quote, and that, quote, PlayStation never collects, stores, or otherwise processes your facial geometry data. We receive only the result of the verification from Yoti, end quote. Explaining how mobile phone verification works, Sony said that, quote, this verification relies on matching the information your mobile provider has on file for you. As long as you are the owner of the phone contract and your details match, you'll be able to confirm your details, end quote. So this is going beyond a simple six-digit text message or something to verify. This is bridging two separate services, one of which is your phone carrier, with each other, two private companies, to communicate and share this information and confirm you in some capacity. On its most innocent side, it's invasive. It's not necessary for your phone company and for Sony to talk to each other in this way. And it's also enabling of things like hyper-targeted advertising, data brokerage in ways that may not be immediately obvious. And on the more cynical side, it can also be used to continue to build a profile on you that has uses that may not yet be clear to us. Sony also states, quote, age verification is a process that helps confirm you're old enough for an adult account for PlayStation, end quote, now noting it's for Ireland, but this will spread. It notes that it may repeatedly ask for ID verification as it changes the process. Sony claims it doesn't retain the data and puts that liability on Yoti, which it claims deletes it once complete. But one, that's not good enough, and two, their privacy policy, which we'll read through in a moment, has some concerning statements in it. In the age of training and AI and LLMs and all this other bullshit, simply deleting the source data isn't good enough anymore. As a promise, it's kind of empty. You can still strip the metadata from it. You can strip the useful points of the geometry from it and use that for the training data set. These companies could feasibly pull the information they really want to do their training for things we probably don't really have a concept of yet and aggregate it into those training data sets. It could also be used in disaggregate, depending on how they manipulate the data to then, you know, ultimately be able to still match their claim of deleting the thing you've uploaded. But PlayStation's identity verification is troubling for a lot of reasons. We've already talked about the issues surrounding facial age estimation in our Discord video, which, among other problems, can also discriminate based on race, gender, disability, and also just be used maliciously in the event of a breach, we think. It also just isn't even always right, even when you do comply with it. We were digging around for examples of this, and in one example we found, a Reddit user on the Blue Sky Social subreddit specifically called out Yodi for not being able to correctly identify the age of the user and identify that they are an adult, and thus it disallowed them access to the social media platform as a result. Quote, so in the UK, they've chosen Yodi as the provider for age verification, which only offers two options to verify your age, take a face scan or input a credit card. I thought the face scan would be pretty straightforward, but to my surprise, it failed to identify me as an adult. I'm 26, end quote. Now, verifying your age via a simple SMS message also carries a risk. It's a different one. It's SIM swapping. This is less common. It's more likely to be done targeted. So if someone knows an account where you're doing this carries some kind of value, and that could be in video games too, if you have an account where there's items that can be bought and sold or whatever. But SIM swapping is just an increasing risk the more places you distribute your number for 2FA rather than using some other form of 2FA. And the risk here is that a social engineering attack on a phone carrier could lead them to getting your SIM card and then swapping it in to port your number to their device and use it as a 2FA vector to unlock accounts, change passwords, things like that. So it can also create a paper trail through a thief, basically, that ties your real-world credentials to whatever illegal activity that person is then performing with the jacked SIM card. This is less common, but it definitely happens, and it does tend to happen to things of higher value, if that can be determined. And you should be careful of it no matter what. The company has also shown that it can't be trusted with our data, though. The 2011 PSN hack was one of the most devastating cyber attacks on consumers in history, with hackers seizing names, usernames, addresses, both physical and email, passwords, and credit card details. Sony worsened the situation by sitting on this information for nearly a week before telling the public. Now, it's once again asking Sony PlayStation users to fork over sensitive information on their behalf. Sony isn't providing any hard guarantees that your data will be safe either. Instead, it points to Yodi's privacy policy, which uses incredibly vague language, stating they only give access to, quote, people who need it, end quote. But Yodi doesn't define who those people are or what constitutes a need. An advertiser might need that data to sell you things. Insurance companies might need that data to deny your claims. It might be useful for them to know if you're in a specific place at a specific time in relation to a claim that you've made. Likewise, disability may find it useful to try and challenge disability claims. There's a lot of ways this data could be used that aren't immediately obvious from a pure video gaming console standpoint. Yodi holds information such as your name, date of birth, gender, and nationality. And while it says that it holds, quote, all of your personal information in a secure data center in the UK, end quote, in March, the Spanish Data Protection Agency fined Yodi €950,000 and alleged three GDPR violations that included, quote, unlawful processing of biometric data, invalid consent mechanisms, and failure to comply with storage limitation requirements, end quote. According to Biometric Update, the Spanish agency found that Yodi's data retention was, quote, excessive, end quote. The Spanish Data Protection Agency specifically cited that Yodi stores 5 years of geolocation data on its users. It goes beyond a simple age verification process when it becomes 5 years of your whereabouts. There's no need to expand and add more vectors for your geolocation than already exist, like the phone carriers. I mean, just because that data might already be possessed by one company, it's not a good reason to be without care that other companies also want access to that type of thing. Now, we're not saying that they're taking that geo data for the PlayStation. Probably it exists, though. I mean, it's a non-mobile device. They've got the IP address you're connecting through if you're on the internet. But that is something that this company has already been found to be doing, at least alleged by the Spanish Data Protection Agency. While Yodi started in 2014, it didn't post its first profit month until March 2025, which happens to be the first month that the controversial UK Online Safety Act, which pushes draconian identity verification measures within the UK, went into effect. On LinkedIn, Yoti co-founder and CEO Robin Toombs reflected on the news, quote, "I'm pleased to share that Yoti has grown revenues in March 2025 78% year-on-year, from 40,100 British pounds daily average to 71,500 British pounds daily average. We forecast another year of strong revenue growth, primarily driven by both our existing and recently signed global customers using primarily more of our ID and age checking services across the world. We expect some UK revenue growth this year as more businesses comply with the Online Safety Act," end quote. These companies stand to make a fortune as governments force more people to upload a form of ID to use the internet and access information or play video games. The CEO indicated that annualized revenue amounts to £26 million, or over $35 million. The company is poised to make much more if these stringent identity verification measures continue to expand beyond the UK's borders. In addition to PlayStation, Yoti's customers also include companies like Instagram, Spotify, and OnlyFans. Yoti has a history of lobbying the UK government. In May 2018, it submitted written evidence to the British government echoing claims that the internet is like, quote, "the Wild West," end quote, and that this Wild West internet should be regulated, quote, "to guarantee safety of the population," end quote. In addition, prior to the UK Online Safety Act getting passed in 2023, in 2021, Yoti donated money to the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Digital Identity in the UK. So, to us, it looks like Yoti created the problem it wanted to solve, and then profited off of that. Also, we're starting to become familiar with the campaign contribution and donation databases of many countries now, which is a different concern. Sony might claim that its hands are tied and that it has to enforce these identity verification laws in the way that it is if it wants to continue conducting business in the UK. But they're not the only ones in this position, and the methods they've chosen are not the only options. Steam also operates in the UK. For Steam, it instead requires that users add a valid credit card to their account. Our understanding is that, barring nuances we may not be privy to being based in the US, the UK doesn't allow individuals under 18 to open up credit card accounts on their own. But there are other options too. You could also verify the age of a user by looking at the age of the account. Sony PlayStation's been around for decades now. So, sort of by default, there's a lot of people with accounts, including me, that are old enough to drink in the US. And with an account that sufficiently old, this should serve as a mechanism to just not need additional verification. And some companies actually use this. While we're not big fans of Apple, in addition to leaning on credit card information like Valve does with Steam, Apple does take account age into consideration. Sony could do the same. Considering some PlayStation accounts are older than 18 years in and of themselves, online users are suggesting Sony should follow suit. Yoti's privacy policy is extensive and complicated, including multiple branching sub-policies and hyperlinks, which is never a good sign. The page notes that it will make sure that, quote, "what we're doing does not cause any unjustified privacy intrusion," end quote, not defining what a justification might be. It also says that it may use non-sensitive data to test its fraud prevention. Again, not defining exactly what that means or if it includes yours. They note that Creative Commons Zero or CC Zero videos from Vimeo are being used to train anti-spoofing, inducting content uploaded in some instances possibly a decade or more prior before this type of use would have been considered. CC Zero was released in 2009. Yoti also notes that it keeps information relating to B2B marketing campaigns. But don't worry, it does say it's, quote, "obliged to carry out some due diligence," end quote. Some is exactly the non-specific amount of due diligence that I would hope for. Although Sony says it doesn't retain your data, Yoti may or may not, depending on the platform and the terms. In one section on retention, the company says, quote, "if you have a digital ID, we will keep your information until you delete your account. Inactive accounts are deleted after 3 years of inactivity," end quote. It also says that it will share your information to, quote, "verify your details with trusted third parties," end quote, again, without defining them. Yoti says it doesn't sell the information, but that leaves a lot of other options open, like trading or training. While PlayStation's identity verification will be relegated to the UK and Ireland for now, We would bet, like Discord, Sony would look to push this initiative beyond those borders. There could be valuable contracts for identity verification services with companies that have exchanges that we're not creatively evil enough to comprehend what the value might be at this stage. It's a slippery slope. It also reminds us of a bipartisan bill that was recently proposed by the U.S. Congress on April 13th. It's titled the, quote, Parents Decide Act, end quote. And while that name sounds protective and innocuous, it follows the Citizens United and Patriot Act schools of thought, where draconian acts get propagandized names. The Parents Decide Act aims to require, quote, operating system providers to verify the age of any user of an operating system, end quote. And it defines operating system as, quote, software that supports the basic functions of a computer, mobile device, or any other general-purpose computing device, end quote. Not only might this definition encompass video game consoles or maybe BIOS, who the fuck knows, but PCs and mobile phones as well. It would also allow third parties to access users' age. If the bill passes, it would seemingly operate on an honor system for now, so to some extent, why bother? But this comes back to the slippery slope, where once one of these things gets passed and in the door, it's a lot easier to amend it later and incorporate more aggressive forms of identity verification. If the government were to require operating systems to verify identities, it would incentivize a centralized vault full of valuable information to attackers. This would mirror the structural failure of the credit reporting system in the United States, where companies like Equifax were allowed to hoard a treasure trove of consumer data with only two real competitors, which resulted in the disastrous 2017 Equifax breach that led to roughly 148 million Americans getting their sensitive data compromised. In many cases, the class action suit paid out under $10 US for a lifetime of credit fraud following you to the grave, or the potential for it, anyway. While the UK and many states in the US already push draconian identity verification tactics, users have generally had access to competing products and services, or VPNs, that would allow them to circumvent these measures. As far as the competing products and services go, there's a lot of monopolies out there, so there's going to be restrictions on how many of those you have. I mean, Sony PlayStation, what are you going to do, go to Xbox? Okay, that was mean, I'm sorry. There are other risks, though, too. VPNs, for example, if you're not careful with your selection of them, some of them store information tied to your account that could be looked at by parties you're not privy to. It might just be the VPN provider. Maybe they don't actively look at it, but it's information that's stored. There are VPNs that specialize in privacy. You can build your own VPN. That's a whole separate topic. But the point is, each sort of solution has its own problems and potentially new risks with it, depending on what it is. And with Sony pushing this for PlayStation, the only thing you can really effectively do as a consumer to speak out against this is to vote with your wallet and to not purchase your games, or at least your online games, on the PlayStation Store in these situations. Even if they claim it's for compliance with government policies, one, there are other options. We've spoken about that with other companies in the space. And two, if the companies see a reduction in profits, maybe they'll stop lobbying against their customers or supporting groups that support things like identity verification for playing video games. Because that's what we're coming back to with this one. That's the crazy part with this. This isn't just like broadly using the internet. This is like you want to load up Star Wars Battlefront. Okay, that's a really old reference. That's the last time I cared about the PlayStation. I'm a PC gamer, all right? I haven't played it too much since the PS2 days, a little bit. But point is, you want to play some video games, you got to scan your passport to do it. That's crazy. I don't know. That's like you're kind of getting into services that people might be willing to terminate to make a point. Now, will that be enough to change anything? I guess yet to be seen, but I wouldn't give up hope on it. I think if there's sufficient pushback on this stuff, then really it's the companies. The companies are the fulcrum of all this, right? Because they're the ones who, like Yodi, benefit from this type of thing, and they're the ones who are going to push it. If eventually they feel enough pain from people, if people are unified enough about it, those same companies are going to be the ones that want to undo it. So that might be a little idealistic, but it is one of the only levers that consumers have. And this is a consumer product, and it's a cash cow for the company that's implicated in this particular instance of it. So yeah, they're complying with laws, but they have other options. And don't let them gaslight you into thinking otherwise. So that's it for this one. Thanks for watching our GNCA videos. If you want to check out more of these, we have more coming up. You can subscribe, of course, to this channel for them. Check out our Flock and Ring Cameras deep dive we did last time. It was about 3 weeks ago. There's some crazy ties there that you may be interested in if you have a Ring camera from Amazon especially. And, of course, check out GN if you want to see some reviews. We have the Steam controller over there. Thanks for watching. Subscribe for more. And you can go to patreon.com/gamersnexus to support us directly or store.gamersnexus.net. Thanks for watching. We'll see you all next time.